No idea why I'm nervous, but I'm so excited. I woke up at about 5. I just couldn't go back to bed. I don't know. It's just been this just overwhelming, great emotion all day. I don't know how else to describe it. But I've looked forward for this first look, this part of my wedding for so long. Always pictured what she'd look like, imagine it in my head. And so I don't know what she'll look like. She'll be beautiful, but just I've been very anxious for this moment. Am I allowed to turn around?
Don't make my makeup, please.
You look amazing.
You look so good. It's our wedding day.
You look stunning. I pictured these.
I know. You said sleeves with open back. I was like, nope, that's not it at all. I love you.
I love you so much.
This is our wedding day. I can't get over that.
You look so beautiful. Oh my goodness.
Anybody need this? Hello, everyone. My name is Clint Schwartz. I'm the lead pastor here at Lighthouse. Thanks for joining us today. If you're watching online, thanks for tuning in as well. So that was the new trend, right? It's this wedding first look, right? Anyone actually done that like you did when you got married? Anyone? Yeah, over here. Yeah, not very many, right? But this is something that's new because the bride and groom want that first look to be more of an intimate setting with a photographer and a videographer, maybe two of them, and then they post it on Facebook, and we all get to see it, you know, this intimate one-on-one opportunity. But actually, my daughter, Anna, and her husband, they did the first look. I have photos of their first look, and it was really special and pretty fun for them. But what was really cool for me was that my daughter Anna said, hey, Dad, I want to do a first look with you on our wedding day, on her wedding day. And so I actually have photos of that too. This was the very proud papa as my daughter Anna came in, and I got to see her in her wedding dress for the first time. Anna giving me that first look, that first opportunity, was very honoring to me as her father. In fact, when we give someone the first opportunity, it is a way that we honor them, right? It's a way that we honor them. If we let someone go in line before us, like if it's a birthday dinner and we say, hey, okay, well, you get to go through the line first, you know, we're honoring them because it's their birthday. Or when we meet with someone and we say, no, you share first. I want to hear about your day. I want to hear what's going on in your life. That's a way that we honor them as well. Or if someone comes back into town, you know, they live out of town, but they come back, you know, to where all the family is. The first person that they visit with, that's someone that they honor as well. Reality is whenever we give someone the first opportunity, it is a way that we honor them. So hold that thought, because today we're starting a new sermon message series titled Unfinished Business. And it's a message series about the post-resurrection encounters that Jesus had with several people before the ascension 40 days later. And so I believe that this is, you know, what Jesus rose from the dead. He still had some unfinished business, some things to take care of. And it's recorded in Scripture, so we're going to spend the next 5 weeks looking at some of those encounters. The encounter that we're going to read about today is Jesus' first encounter, the people that he met with, that he appeared to first, and he honored them. They were right outside of the tomb, in the garden. That's where Jesus appeared to them. So you can turn in your Bibles. We're going to be in Mark chapter 16. And this is after the crucifixion that happened on Friday, and then there was this Sabbath that happened on Saturday, and nobody really did anything. But the very first thing that happened on Sunday morning, very early in the morning, is where we're going to pick up this story. So Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 11. It says, "When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, 'Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?' But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. 'Don't be alarmed,' he said. 'You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you.' Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid." Verse 9 says, "When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping." So Jesus appeared first to Mary, but I want to pick up the same account in the book of Matthew. At the very end, Matthew 28, verse 8 says, "So the women hurried away from the tomb," it's the same account, "afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. But suddenly Jesus met them." So he met the women, not just Mary. "And he said, 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" So today's message is about this first encounter. So we're titling it The First Encounter. This is where Jesus, right after resurrection, he met these women. He chose them. And by appearing to them first, I believe that he honored them as well. So we're going to take a look at a few reasons why Jesus might have chosen to honor these women first. But first, let me pray. God, we thank you for your word again that gives us direction, gives us purpose, gives us life. I pray that you would open up our ears to hear from you. And Father, give me your words to speak today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, if you'd like to, you can fill this in on your handout. Jesus chose the women first, point number one, to honor their faithfulness. To honor their faithfulness. Verse 2 said, "Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb." The women were there very early on the first day of the week. That wasn't a first time that they've done something like that. The women were very faithful. See, these women had followed Jesus. They had cared for his needs. They had cared for the needs of the disciples. And even after he was crucified, the women wanted to care for Jesus' body. So they were there very early on Sunday morning. They went to anoint his body. They wanted to make sure that Jesus was buried correctly according to the Jewish burial customs. Now, between the four different gospel accounts of the resurrection, the scriptures mention four different women who were in the garden who had appeared, that had seen Jesus on that day. And the Chosen TV series does a really good job of allowing us to get to know maybe the personalities or who these women might have been. And if you're not watching the Chosen message or the Chosen TV series, I want to encourage you to watch it, okay? I think it's on Amazon Prime now, maybe even on Netflix. Season 4 is the one that's been out in the movie theaters, and everybody's waiting for it to be streamed, but they're having legal issues. So they are allowing us, though, as a church, to stream season 4. So we're going to do a watch party here in a couple weeks on Sunday night. The students are going to host us. Students, you guys better do a good job of hosting us. I want some popcorn, all right, a little bit of butter on it. But we're going to watch episodes 1 and 2 on Sunday, April 21st from 5 to 7. So you guys are welcome to come watch it on the big screen. It'll be kind of fun. But I wanted to use The Chosen TV series so that we can kind of get to know some of these women because they're in the TV series. So the first of all was Mary Magdalene. This was who starred as Mary Magdalene in the TV series. But Jesus cast 7 demons out of her. And then we had Salome. Salome was the mother of James and John, the wife of Zebedee. And then the scripture mentions Mary, the mother of James the younger and Joseph. We don't have a photo of her from The Chosen, but this is James the younger. All right, so it was his mother was the other Mary here. And then the account in the Gospel of Luke also mentions a lady named Joanna. So here was Joanna in The Chosen. She's the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household, and she has a larger role in season 4. Now, these women were all followers of Jesus. They were all mentioned by name that they were in the garden that day, and Jesus had appeared to them to honor them. This is what it says in Mark chapter 15 about these women. It says, some women were watching from a distance. This is when Jesus was crucified, and among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph, and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. So Jesus had his 12 disciples, but he also had several women who had followed him and cared for him. They took care of his personal needs and also the needs of the disciples. We don't know what that looked like, but they might have done the laundry for them. They might have cooked for them. And then we read in the Gospel of Luke that some of these women actually bought the supplies out of their own personal finances. See, these women, they cared for Jesus. And not only did they care for him while he was alive, after he died, the very first thing that they did on Sunday morning was go to the tomb and prepare his body for burial. Now, I want you to think about that. Jesus died on Good Friday. This was Sunday, a few days later. So Jesus' body should have begun to decay. It should have started to smell. But they didn't care. They were there first thing in the morning to take care of Jesus. They didn't even know how they were going to roll the stone away when they got there. They didn't care. They just wanted to care for Jesus this one last time. And I believe that one of the reasons why Jesus honored them by appearing to them first was to honor their faithfulness. They were faithful. Jesus knew that they loved him because they had been faithful to him to the very end. And in that moment in the garden, Jesus chose to appear to them first. He was honoring to them. Now, I believe that there are many people here today who have been following Jesus for several years. You've been faithful to follow Jesus. You've been faithful with your finances. You've been faithful with your time. You've sacrificed time to follow Jesus. You may have even sacrificed things that you want, places that you want to live, places you want to go, but you've done it for Jesus. Well, I want to tell you today that Jesus honors your sacrifice. He honors your faithfulness. And your sacrifice will not go unnoticed. Galatians 6, 9, and 10 says, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So let's continue to be faithful. Let's continue to do good to all people. Let's continue to sacrificially serve those that Jesus tells us to serve. It's worth it. Jesus notices, and he will repay us. He will honor us, and he will reward us. So continue to be faithful because Jesus honors faithfulness. That's our first point. Jesus chose the women first to honor their faithfulness. The second point is this. Jesus chose the women first to show their value. To show their value. To understand this, we have to try to understand what the culture was like in Jesus' day. Women were not highly valued in Jesus' day. In fact, it was actually highly unusual for Jesus to even speak, because he was a rabbi, he was a teacher, for him to even speak with a woman. There's an example of that in the book of John, where Jesus was resting by a well. He sat down by a well and he's resting, and his disciples went into town to buy food. Well, while he was sitting there, a woman, a Samaritan woman, came out to fetch water from the well. And Jesus struck up a conversation with her. And he just started talking to her. He actually started prophesying over her, and he shared the gospel with her. And she became a believer in Jesus. But it was unusual for him to actually be talking even to a woman. In fact, his disciples came back, and they were confused. They said in John chapter 4, verse 27, or the scripture says this, "Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, 'What do you want?' or 'Why are you talking with her?'" So it was pretty normal for women to not have much value. They couldn't even talk to a rabbi. But even though the culture of Jesus' day didn't value women very highly, Jesus' actions showed that he did. It didn't matter to Jesus if a person was male or female. In his eyes, they were just a person who needed the gospel, and he valued them all. So much so that he even allowed them to follow him, take care of his needs, and really be part of his crew. And in the end, after he rose from the dead, the very first people that he appeared to wasn't the 12 disciples, it was these women. These women who had been faithful to him. Now, historically, women have been marginalized in the church. Many of us have read the scripture in 1 Timothy where Paul says that he doesn't allow women to speak in church. But I believe that was a different culture and a different time. Things have changed dramatically in our world today. And I believe even back then, Jesus was demonstrating among his followers that allowing these women to be part of his team was showing that they had value in ministry. They were actually doing ministry with Jesus. And by appearing to the women first, I believe that Jesus was demonstrating the value of women to a culture that treated women as less than. See, to Jesus, they were equals. And women are equal partners in the kingdom of God. Paul, who wrote 1 Timothy, also wrote the book of Galatians, and he said this in chapter 3, verse 26, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ." Paul was making it clear that we are all children of God, whether we are male or female. We're all equal in Christ. Billy Graham has this quote where he says, "The ground is level at the foot of the cross." Now, I believe that he made that comment, that quote, that statement, because he was saying that it doesn't matter what our sins are. You know, we're all sinners in need of a Savior. But I just wanted to point out and use this quote to say the same thing about men and women. Guys, it is all equal at the foot of the cross. We're just all sinners in need of a Savior. I do want to make an important point, though. Even though men and women are equals in the kingdom of God, we are not the same. Can I get an amen on that? God created us differently, and we should honor and cherish the differences. He created male and female equal, but different. Now, we have a world, a culture that is trying to make us all be the same. You know, we have this pressure to act the same, whether you're male or female, to like the same things, to feel the same way, to look the same, to dress the same. That's not how God created us. God created us to be different. And He has plans for each of us according to our design. And we should walk in those plans, be confident and accepting of God's plans for us, regardless of what the world says we should do or not do, or be or not be. But I believe Jesus chose the women in a culture that did not value women. He honored them to show that He valued them. So that was the second point. Jesus chose the women first to show their value. I just want to speak to the men for a moment. Men, I think it's really hard for us to understand what women go through because we live in a very male-dominated society. And so I'm asking, if you're part of Lighthouse, I'm asking you guys to bend over backwards to show value to women. You know, I was kind of taught that the way that we showed value to women was we didn't actually just treat them any differently. But I'm asking you men to go out of your way to open doors, to let them go first, to be honoring to women. Because I think that, again, women have been marginalized in our society and even in the church, and we should bend over backwards to show them honor. All right, so Jesus chose the women first to show their value. Last point for today. Jesus chose the women first despite their past. Despite their past. Verses 9 and 10 of chapter 16 talk about Mary Magdalene, who had, out of whom he had driven seven demons. So Mary Magdalene had seven demons inside of her before she met Jesus. You can only imagine what she was like, right? She probably wasn't a very good person if you have seven demons driving you and helping you make decisions. So she was kind of a mess before she met Jesus. But then we also have Salome. She was the mother of James and John and the wife of Zebedee. If you read the scriptures, Salome actually convinced her sons, the two disciples, James and John, to ask Jesus for like special rites. And like said, hey, can you ask Jesus if you can sit like at his right and at his left when he comes into the kingdom, like be like number one and number two, you know, right behind him? Well, Salome kind of got them to do that, and then it caused all kinds of disruptions with the 12 disciples. And then you also have Joanna. Joanna was the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household. Most likely, she was rich and powerful. Before she met Jesus, she probably lived a very, ungodly life. We'll just say it that way. So you have these three women whose lives were kind of a mess before they met Jesus, and yet their previous life didn't stop Jesus from choosing them first. When it comes to Jesus, our past doesn't limit His love. He forgives us. He restores us. He doesn't hold our past against us. Praise God for that. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If you guys would say that with me, all unrighteousness. He forgives us from everything we've ever done. And these women had been kind of a mess. And Jesus loved them, honored them, and chose them first. This shows us that He doesn't hold our past against us. He completely forgives us. Our past is our past. When I was putting this message together and I was going through this point, I remember a time in my life when I was going through a divorce, and I really wanted to be in ministry, and I felt like, oh man, I'm going to end up divorced. And in the Mennonite church that I had grown up in, if you were divorced, you couldn't even be a member of the church, let alone be a leader or be a pastor. And I remember in that moment, you know, when I was going through all of that, just thinking, I'm done. I'm done. And by me standing up here today, hopefully that's proof that God is never done with us. It doesn't matter the mistakes we've made. It doesn't matter what's been done to us. It doesn't matter what we've gone through. Jesus does not look at us through the filter of our past. Praise God for that. Amen. Our past does not need to be our present and does not need to limit our future. Here's your last fill-in. Our past doesn't limit God's honor. God honors faithfulness today. That's what he honors.